Now come to that time for the sacrament of baptism. And before we go there, I want you to give an explanation of what this sacrament is. In order to do that, I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 28. We have the Lord Jesus instituting the sacrament of baptism. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You notice that it's not just Jesus telling the disciples what they are to do. He's saying that the authority is mine to tell you to do this. All authority is mine in heaven and earth. And he gives them these instructions. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Baptism is a sacrament ordained by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sign and seal of the inclusion of the person who is baptized in the covenant of grace. In the covenant of grace. Baptism with water teaches that we and our children are conceived and born in sin. It signifies our dying to sin and our rising to newness of life by virtue of our union in Christ Jesus in his death and resurrection. It also signifies and seals to us cleansing from sin by the blood and Spirit of Christ. And since these gifts of salvation are gracious provision of the triune God, who is pleased to claim us as his very own, and that's what we're doing here, acknowledging that this child, Shiloh Mamre, belongs to the Lord, and putting his sign and seal upon him. He claims us as his very own, so we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Baptized persons then are called upon to assume the obligations of the covenant. And that includes you, who are here today and have been baptized. Your baptism was not just that day in your youth, in your infancy. But your baptism still speaks to you today. And says to you, you are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You are obligated as a child of the covenant to walk with God. Baptism summons us like wisdom was summoning us in Proverbs 8, to renounce sin and the world and to walk humbly with our God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and following his commands. As we just read, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And although our young children do not yet understand these things, they are nevertheless to be baptized. For the promise of the covenant is made to believers and to their children, as God declared to Abraham. And I, he says to Abraham, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after. Genesis 17:7. Under the New Testament, no less than in the Old, the children of believers have, by virtue of their birth, an interest in the covenant and a right to the seal of it. The covenant of grace is the same in substance in the Old as it is in the New. And I want to point this out to you by reading Galatians chapter 3. Should anyone think that it's not the same gospel that saved people in the Old Testament? This passage dispels that rumor. Should anyone think that people are saved by some other means than the gospel of Jesus Christ? This passage tells us different. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Paul says, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Because Abraham had faith in God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And it is the same for us today. We must have faith in God and be trusting in the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order for his righteousness to be accounted to us. And so the gospel was preached to Abraham just like it is preached to you today in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the covenant of grace is the same in substance in both the Old and New Testament, and baptism has replaced circumcision as that sign and seal of that covenant. And we see that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I won't read that, but I would encourage you to go and read that later today. You also know that the grace signified in this baptism today is not tied to the moment of administration. Scripture teaches that our children are covenantally holy before their baptism because they are born to parents of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because God works through families and representation of the families to his children, he communicates in this covenant of grace. Baptism applies the promises and obligations of the covenant to our children and calls them to personal repentance and faith in Christ as they come to years of understanding. And so as you see this baptism today, there are some of you who are being reminded that you have been baptized. And you need to come and make that profession of faith. This baptism is not just for Shiloh. It's for the church. It's for the church to be reminded of what God has done and is doing through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. The question for some people then is, does it really matter? Does it really matter whether or not we baptize our children? Let me declare to you that this morning, this is not something we do by ceremony alone, or just because it's tradition, or because it's sweet to see a little baby be baptized. That is not what we are here about at all. This is the God-commanded sacrament of baptism for the child of believing parents. And it matters. It matters first and foremost because it matters to God. Never forget that. For he has commanded that the children of believers are to receive the sign and seal the covenant as with Abraham. He commanded that to Abraham. We see in Galatians 3 that in that was the gospel. And he has never, ever rescinded that command. He has never said, no longer shall you give the sign of my covenant to your children. Never. And so we continue to baptize our children, giving them the sign and seal of the covenant of grace. And when we do that, we honor God. And we acknowledge. And we say to him, it matters to us because it matters to you. It also matters because there are blessings to the parents, to the child, and the church. As parents, when we bring our children to be baptized, we are testifying that this child is a gift from the Lord, that this child belongs to the Lord, and we are yet but stewards of this gift of this child. That changes everything in how you raise your children. That gives you a different view of who your children are. This is, letters to the parents because this is the first testimony of them to the church that the parents will strive to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In this rite, in this ceremony, there are obligations that we take upon ourselves. And the parents take on an obligation to themselves. To not be negligent. To not let the church raise their children. To not let the world raise their children. But they stand before God and they take a vow and they say, I will raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because it is the Lord's child with the Lord's sign and seal of His covenant of grace upon that child. It matters to them. It matters in how the parents see their children. For we who baptize our children do not see them as the offspring of Satan. We do not see them as wicked creatures. We see them as children of God. We teach them to worship, pray, and read the scriptures, and to have faith in God, and to believe that God hears them. We are not just going through the motions with this person who has no relationship to God, and say, pray, yet God will not hear the prayers of the wicked. We're not doing that. We are teaching them. We are teaching them the faith. We are teaching them to worship. We are teaching them to pray. And we are teaching them that God hears them. It's not just a rote thing or something to prepare them for later Christian life. We are bringing them to God Himself as we raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it is a blessing to us to know that this is how we are to view our children because they are members of the covenant of the grace of God. Also matters to the children. Baptism of the child matters to the child, whether they recognize it at this moment or not. As they are given the sign and seal of being in covenant with God, which is to be declared to them in the gospel, it matters that they are marked. They are not the same as the world's children. Does not mean that the Lord won't bring some of the world's children into faith. Because we know that's how He works and He does that. But those children are different than this child who carries the mark, the sign, and the seal of the covenant of grace. It matters as the child is placed in special privilege to be in a family by God's wisdom and by God's election, by God's predestination, to bring a child into the family, to mark that child as His, to have that sign and seal upon them, makes a difference in a child's life. It matters because they'll be brought up in the church like you are today, and you are being reminded of your baptism. You, whoever you are here today, you are being reminded of the grace of God upon you. And so it matters to those children. And it matters to the young children, even who are here today. And I would say to you, young children who have been baptized, I encourage you, even this moment, you young children, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That is wisdom. Wisdom cries out to you and says, follow me. And the wisdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say to you, young people, old people, very young people, you, if you have been baptized, you are obligated. It's not your, it wasn't your choice to be baptized, maybe, but you are obligated to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And to not do so, you become not a covenant keeper with God, but a covenant breaker. So you are called upon today to remember your baptism, though you don't remember it. But it is like what you're going to see. And you're called upon to to give God thanks that you were included in the covenant of grace. And you have been called upon to follow the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So I say to you, children, you children, go to your parents and say, what does this mean? Nothing better you can do on this Lord's Day than to go to your parents and say, Mom and Dad, explain to us more about baptism. And I would say to you, parents, go to your children and remind them of their baptism and speak to them the same gospel that was preached to Abraham. That is no small thing for us to recognize that in the covenant of grace that God made with Abraham was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evangelize your children, parents, even through this baptism. It matters to the church because we are reminded of our own baptism and our obligation to faith in Christ and obedience to His commands. It matters to the church because we are obligating ourselves to pray for these parents, all the parents, and for their children. It matters to us for that reason. And we probably fail in this more often than not. But praying for parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and praying for the children that they would hear and learn and understand and be taught by Jesus Christ. It matters to us because that's the obligation that today you're going to take upon yourself. It matters to the church because it demonstrates that we continue by faith to believe that that promise that was made to Abraham and his descendants applies to us today. The promise that's in the covenant of grace that God made to Abraham applies to us today. And by doing this baptism, we are demonstrating our faith in God. But we believe that promise. To discontinue would be to say, no, that doesn't really matter anymore. But it matters. It matters to God. It matters to the children. It matters to the parents. And it matters to the church because we are all involved in this covenant. By doing this, we continue to demonstrate that we believe that the covenant promises of God, which are in Christ Jesus, are yes in Him and amen to the glory of God through us. So I encourage you, the Lord's people, to reflect on your own baptism. Parents, on your own baptism. And your obligation that God calls you to. Your own baptism, young people. Young adults, young children. And reflect on where you are with the Lord. Are you walking according to the grace of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing up from your baptism into greater things and greater service and greater growth in understanding the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it means to improve upon your baptism and make good use of it. Because this baby Shiloh here today is going to be baptized here. We don't expect her to stay at the baptism. We expect her to grow. And that means to you adults as well. To grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see this baptism, even as you sit there, reflect upon your own baptism and seek the Lord to show you where you need to be improving upon it and to make right use of the baptism, the covenant of grace that God has given. So, believing God's promises, I now will administer this holy sacrament by faith to call upon God to be faithful to His promises to this covenant child man. For the promise of God is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And ask the parents and child man to come forward. do this baptism. We want to ask the parents to renew their communicative membership vows by answering this question. Do you publicly renew your profession of faith in Christ and acknowledge your acceptance of the covenant of communicative membership? Now I would ask the parents to assent to the covenant of baptism in relation to Shiloh. Do you believe Shiloh is a possession of God entrusted to your care?
We do.
In this light, do you promise to provide for her temporal well-being, to teach him or to teach her to love God and His Word, the Bible, and to provide Shiloh with a God-centered education?
We do.
Do you promise to teach Shiloh of her sinful nature, of the plan of salvation which centers in Jesus Christ, and her own personal need of a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
To the end that she may grow in the Christian life, do you promise to pray for her and to train her to read the Bible, to pray, to keep the Lord's Day, and to understand the nature of the church, the value of its worship and fellowship, and her need to seek communicative membership in the church? Do you promise to lead her by your example and parental discipline exercised in love to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all the relationships of life?
We do.
And do you make these promises in the presence of God in humble reliance upon His grace as you desire to give your account with joy at the last great day? I would now ask the congregation to stand. As I mentioned, this baptism matters to the church. You're about to affirm your participation in this covenant with God. Do not take it lightly. Do not take it as something you just must answer yes to. Because if you are not willing to do what is being placed and asked upon you here, do not take this committed vow. But if you are, then rejoice in the Lord that you're being called together with this family to be in covenant with them as they are in covenant with God, along with their child. And so I ask you, if you affirm this question and say, we do, do you, the members of Grace Reformed Church, receive this child into your fellowship and promise to pray for her, to help and encourage the parents as they seek to bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord?
We do.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord now in giving Him thanks for this child, for the covenant of grace, and seeking His blessing upon this baptism and setting apart this common water to its sacramental use. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for Your word and how it teaches us, Lord, what baptism is. It is connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are to baptize our children under His authority and under His blessing. Father, so we pray that You would bless this family as they seek to raise Shiloh and their other children in the nurture and admonition of You, their holy God. We pray, Lord, that You would bless this church. Help us not to forget what we have just committed to pray and to help and to teach these children, to help this family to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless this church, Lord, as we seek to do that. Bless us, Lord, with our efforts and give us success. Father, we ask now that You would set this water, this common water, apart for its sacramental purpose of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church's only King and Head. And we pray in His name only. Amen. Amen. Anna and Reuben, the Lord bless you. As you enter into this covenant with this child, Silo Manley. I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. One God forever. Amen. Let's rejoice and praise the Lord for this baptism. In heaven, what a wonderful, wonderful gift that you have given to us, the church. That you have given to us as families. This precious promise. This sign and this seal, Lord, that tells us that you are guaranteeing that if we respond to you in faith as Abraham did, you will save us. And you will make us your children. Father, we do pray for this family. We pray for Reuben and Anna, for Abigail and Thea, and now Shiloh. Bless them, Lord, we ask. Prosper them in their growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make them, Lord, strong servants of yours. We ask these things in Jesus' name.